question came up too. Obviously, school buses are going to be important here. So this is again just a check of school bus. School buses generally, normal school bus is 40 feet long, so smaller than that 50 foot fire truck that we checked, smaller than the 67 foot semi that we checked. So that makes it, again, no problem. There's actually several feet of room on each side of it without needing to use that truck apron either. So buses will not have any issues getting around this either. So I just wanted to touch a little bit. I explained a little on pedestrian and cyclists. Cyclists, like I said, can choose to use the lane or choose to use the paths on the outsides. As far as pedestrians, you know, obviously with the school here, you are going to have some pedestrians using this area. Again, just to get your bearings, this is a little different view from the other one I had. Now this is 51st. Here's Drexel. School's up here. Actually, this is the football field you see off in the distance. So the continuous sidewalk along the east side of 51st, so somebody wanting to cross, one of the benefits of a roundabout, especially a single-lane roundabout, you only need to cross one leg of traffic at a time. So if you're crossing here, all you have to worry about is looking this direction for traffic approaching from that way. Once you cross here, and that's about a, 24-foot crossing, then you've got refuge in the island in the middle. And then again, you only have to worry about crossing one direction of traffic. Look back here to see if any traffic's exiting the roundabout. So that's one of the benefits over a signal or a stop, that you're only crossing one leg at a time. If this were signal or stop controlled, you're going to have right turn lane, a through lane, a left turn lane, the opposite through lane. You've got to cross all those at once, traffic from both directions. So that's one of the benefits for a pedestrian.
Yeah. Got a question. Currently, the kids park going east on Drexel. There will be no parking signs.
We'll have to shove the parking down the road a little bit.
So. Quite a bit. Okay.
Have we talked to the school district about this?
Yeah. In fact, January 23rd is an open house. I would encourage any of your constituents who want to find out or complaining or want to know more about this issue. From 4 to 7 at the high school in the library. It's a public meeting.
Open house. But we've already talked to them.
January 23rd. Oh. 4 to 7.
Yes. But we have already talked to them, and they're aware that parking is going to be adjusted.
The school district has fiber run through the intersection, so they're in the process of trying to relocate that fiber in anticipation of this project.
Mark?
Talk about the school district. First community meeting, it was raised the fact that the buses coming out of the high school and the traffic generated there, it's artificially being stopped by someone at the gate, so they stop traffic coming towards the intersections. Has the school ever been talked to about working something out so that the buses are getting released and traffic can flow to this intersection? Because my constituents raised the fact and asked me to go observe it, and I did. Someone comes out and actually stops traffic. You could have a bus loading up here and a bus that just cleared, but they'll stop the traffic until the next bus comes down around and all the buses are out of there. And that doesn't create a good flow, and I think the school needs to have some ownership of that as well. So I think we need to talk about that point with them.
I haven't not had that discussion, but we can talk about that on the 23rd.
Okay, so one of the things I wanted to have to close here, and I apologize, my videos there aren't working. Can you switch it so that you see the document here? Then I can show the video on this.
You got an HDMI port on that?
We tried. It wasn't liking it, so.
So it's going to be up on these screens.
Yeah, actually, okay. If you want us.
There you go.
Okay.
Does that work for you? There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, one of the things we hear a lot, and I've heard a little bit on this, is, roundabouts are great. They work. You know, I get it. I think they work in the right location, but they're not going to work here. They're not going to work for our traffic. They're not going to work for our residents. They're not going to work by the school. This is a video, a side-by-side video of a very similar corridor. This is in Suamico, just outside of Green Bay. So this is one of the first roundabouts installed in the state. And what this video is, it's a side-by-side. These videos are taken at exactly the same time of two intersections, one where they put in a roundabout, and these are connected. So if you follow it long enough, there's cars that leave one roundabout, and then they travel to the next intersection shown on the bottom is a four-way stop. So you'll see how the roundabout flows. You'll see streams of cars come in, flow relatively freely. You'll see them stack up, maybe one, two cars stack up at a time. You see that same volume of traffic move to the signal, and you'll see them stack up 10, 20 cars deep. The exact same issues you see right now at 51st and Drexel. This corridor has actually a little more traffic than we see on 51st and Drexel. It's also by three schools, so it's by Bayport High School, which actually has a higher enrollment than Franklin School. But they also have an elementary and a middle school along this corridor, too. So you to me, that what really says to me that this worked for this community is since this time, they actually converted this what you see as a four-way stop, they converted that to a roundabout as well. And they actually have a series of nine roundabouts on this corridor now. So to me, that speaks very well that it can work on this type of corridor next to a school. This community loves them. They've got lots of them now, but you know, they had the same types of trepidations back in 2013 when this was built, but certainly worked in a very similar corridor. I think it could work very well here as well. So that's what I have for you tonight. I did just want to touch on the schedule. You did mention the January 23rd. We will have the public involvement meeting at the school. Real estate acquisition, pending your approvals tonight, I suppose, would take place in the spring. Utilities will have some relocations. There's several utility poles, and we'll coordinate with other private utilities for relocations here in the spring. Construction would happen in summer of this year while school is out, so during the period when school's not in session, and we would aim to have it open to traffic prior to the start of school in the fall. So thank you for your time. Any other questions that you have for me?
One of the things that that we explained to the constituents and citizens was the fact that the turnabout was less expensive. One of the things we talked about was the fact that the first option, the single lane, was not safe to me, and we couldn't, you know, risk that. But the fact that this turnabout was the lesser cost as opposed to stoplights. Now, I see in the body here we have increased the cost somewhat. Is that justified in the terms, still justified in terms of the stoplights, and have stoplights gone up accordingly to offset that concern of the citizens about the cost factor?
Several things at kind of at play here. So first off, the sewer pack study was a very conceptual, high-level view. So their design of it was pretty conceptual, pretty rough. What we found once we got into it, several things. We actually shifted the roundabout a little bit west of the existing center of intersection so that we could avoid, there's one house in the northeast corner that's somewhat tight. So we had to shift it a little bit to avoid impacts, permanent impacts to that property. What that requires then, you need a little more room down, a little more distance down each leg that you need to realign for that shift. So that raised some costs. We're looking at a bigger footprint than the sewer pack study did, bigger circle overall to accommodate those trucks, fire trucks, buses. That we obviously heard is a big concern. So those kind of caused the cost of this design to creep up from what you probably saw in that sewer pack report. The other just overriding factor recently, you're seeing bid costs. I mean, that report's almost 2 years old now. You are seeing overall bid costs have certainly gone up. So a signal would probably still be more. We haven't done kind of a full detailed signal design like we did a full detailed roundabout design at this point. So I couldn't point to you, give you a dollar amount, how much more a signal might be. But seeing what they even laid out, it was even further down each leg. I would suspect it's still going to be more than this, but I couldn't give you a dollar amount.
I think sewer pad, memory serves, about $1.5 million. So
we're still well below that.
That's the raw cost of putting a signal in. That does not include all of the additional costs for maintenance, training our people, having spare parts, that kind of stuff. Anyone else have a question? Alderman Mayor?
I don't know if this would come from you. Maybe Glenn can help me out on this. Is there an educational component to this? I know you showed the videos on the web on the DOT website, but is there a component that's going to go to the high school to educate the kids and educate the parents?
Yeah, I'm excited that we have with sort of near the high school where kids are learning to drive and they can actually learn to drive them well.
Right.
I would imagine they're going to include that as part of the driver's ed courses and such that they have. So, like I said, there are references, and we would obviously provide those to the school. And you know, I'm trying to provide more and more references. If you notice the hallway, there's several things we're show and tell, if you will, and try to provide that. I know that's prompted a lot of conversations, and so they're not unusual. You leave Franklin, you encounter lots of roundabouts. So,
at the PIM too, we'll bring some educational materials. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't expect that there's probably going to be a lot of students showing up to absorb that stuff, but we'll have that info to leave with the school too, and point them to some of those things, some brochures, videos, that type of stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't see a lot of kids showing up to the public information meeting, but in school, if they can get it, and if they can get it formally from their driver's education, would be a huge benefit, I would think. And you're right, they're going to deal with them more and more around. But this one always concerned me, being so close to the high school. The video is actually pretty helpful. I still worry about it.
I have heard.
Like I said, that video, it's right on a corridor with the school. They actually put one right at their school entrance since the time this was done. So, and I know of several other locations where they're very close to schools as well. West Bend has one very close to their high school.
I have heard at several conferences, and I don't know of any statistics to back it up, but it's not the concern of the new drivers. They seem to pick up on it pretty close. It's your more experienced drivers that really have a tough time adjusting to a different kind of driving.
Yeah, I think we've been through that.
Why did you look at me when you did this?
I understand that too, but still we're dealing with a lot of kids coming out of high school, hormonally charged kids with their first temps and first license.
And this is the obvious, you know, those kids that are trying to blow through intersections or impatient or not waiting for those are the kids that generally get into T-bone accidents. So,
is it possible to email us contact information to those school districts or the schools or somewhere that had those roundabouts that you're aware of, so we can just give a quick?
I could point you to just some that I know. I don't have the contact info, but I could point you to some of the schools where I know there's some.
Okay, can you email that to us or get it to Glenn or something?
Yeah,
just as a follow-through. I mean, I trust you and everything, but I'd like to firsthand.
We can do it later, Brad.
Firsthand.
I'm speaking to myself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just like a firsthand opinion of them. And Glenn, as far as you're concerned, this is moving along the way it needs to for the city, the best interest of the city?
I believe so, yes, sir. So,
I would suggest we're late.
Oh.
We need to keep going.
Yeah, we are.
In terms of the project.
We are. You know, they submitted 60% set of plans. He's still continuing to design. For the new requirement, I need your permission to put this out to bid. So as we complete the project, so obviously I'm asking two things tonight. One is permission to put this out to bid, and the second thing is to start the easement land acquisition.
Alderman Barber.
I make a motion to approve A and B with the caveat or the amendment that we would do explanation in the analysis of what factors are creating that increase in cost. It was very logical the way it was explained to me, but that just include the kind of items that are causing that to go a little bit higher.
Or okay.
What the incremental increases are doing, like making it wider, accommodate those kind of things.
So I can add some verbiage to the motion?
Yes, in the analysis section, just where the cost is being identified.
In the analysis section, good.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Your motion was to direct staff to proceed with both option A and B, is that correct?
Yes.
And then the additional suggestion is that you get some more information on the record.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
As on the action sheet.
Yeah.
As on the action sheet, right.
Yep, that's fine.
Discussion of that motion. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. For the record, it was four ayes, two absent, no abstentions. We move on. Thank you, Brad. Move on to item G11, Standards, Findings, and Decisions of the City of Franklin Common Council for Innovative Health and Fitness for a Natural Resources Special Exception.
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Alderman Mayor.
Just a quick discussion. We just did discussions probably for Joel, Environmental. Commission had some recommendations. Are they being followed?
Mr. Deedle?
Yes. The short answer is yes. The long answer is the...
Thank you. The answer is yes.
Yeah, that's good. As long as there's environmental...
I'm trying to train him, guys.
Environmental Commission had an extensive conversation on this and weren't greatly against it, just had some concerns and wanted to make sure that they were addressed.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. G12 is a resolution of that. Thanks, Bob. You're good. We got another one, yeah. Resolution. Let's do the next one, which is
165.
Turn to page. There's some additional information at your desk, but yes, it's item 15, which is an ordinance to amend 15-30434 of the Unified Development Ordinance Plan Development District 29 for construction of approximately 25,500 square foot fieldhouse building to allow for addition as is outlined in the action sheet. Alderman Nelson.
Yes, looking at this, I've got a couple questions. Living close to there, driving by, they do one heck of a business. It's very busy. They do well there. The neighbors aren't complaining. The ones that I've talked to anyway, one was a minor complaint that was resolved pretty quick by the owner. Looking at what they want to do with the expansion and looking at what the plan commission came up with, I have a question about that because I'm not sure why the plan commission did not recommend approving of physician services. And if the property owner came and wanted to do, it looks like they wanted to, the addition of laser services and cosmetics, physician services, and wine and beer service, the plan commission did not recommend that. Now, this is a wellness center. So what I'm looking at is, making this motion to approve, but, they got physical therapy in there. They got all sorts of things. Now you're not going to allow physician services, which seems kind of odd.
Alderman Dandrea.
Sir.
What had happened was he said that it wasn't necessary. He took it off the table.
I remember agreement, but I don't remember
correct.
The reason why it came up.
And a lot of the lasering would be tattooing. And it didn't feel that it was – he took it off the table and said that it wasn't a necessity to the approval of this project.
As I recall, Alderman, it was not a contentious back and forth on what should be included or not.
No.
So, Alderman Nelson, no. Still at the floor.
Okay, so my question is then, so what you're saying or summarizing is that he took off – the laser services, cosmetics, physician services, wine and beer service. So he took that off. So
he did not volunteer. He was asked.
Okay, so he took it off, though. He was asked, and he
right. He was egregious. He was egregious to not including it, and he didn't feel that it was detrimental to the practice.
Good enough. Motion to approve.
Second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. I can tell you that Mr. Cole appreciates your action tonight. Move back. Thank you to G. Thanks, Bob. Move back to G12, which is a housing diversity report, Mr. Morrow. And there is a suggested change at your place, Mr. Morrow.
Okay. As we've discussed multiple occasions, the Board of Water Commissioners is working very hard to ensure stability and best water source for Franklin in the future. And one of those options involves a request for some sort of housing plan that Franklin has. Franklin does not have what we would call a housing plan. But what we did, what the Board of Water Commissioners decided to do was actually hire a consultant to look at what has happened to affordable housing in Franklin under current policies. And we believe that would be sufficient. In addition, Wisconsin Act 243 in the year 2020 makes it required for Franklin and many other communities to submit a report. And this housing study would play a key component in that. So we are doing it now, even though it's not due until 2020, at the request of the water commissioners. Actually, they're the ones that did it. And then, so as part of that, this came out. And basically, I'm going to summarize that even though Franklin does not have a housing plan, there is affordable housing in Franklin. It may not be the new housing additions that you see going in to the south especially, but there's several housing options for people with that need that. So having said that, we took this to the Board of Water Commissioners. They reviewed the report, had a few comments. We took it to the Plan Commission. They reviewed it, had another few comments. I think there's another few comments. We're still finalizing it. If you have any comments, we'd appreciate knowing that, but we'd like to adopt this, and Mr. Dietl can address any questions you may have. But this will be a guide to the housing element of the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan that needs to be worked on soon. And this is needed for a variety of reasons, and I guess I'd like to stress this report is not making Franklin do something different than we're not already doing. It's just documenting what is there under current policies.
It's a status, not a...
It's a status.
I'll move to approve.
Let me do something first. Thank you, Alderman. Did go have conversations with the school superintendent, and at your place is a suggested change to page 10 under school districts, I agree that that particular change would be appropriate. So, Alderman Mayor, your motion is to adopt Resolution 2019, whatever it's going to be, a resolution to adopt housing diversity in Franklin, December 2018 report, subject to formatting and graphic changes and changes as outlined on page 10.
And as recommended by the school district. Which
just
says,
page 10. Yes.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. By the way, that one motion will go a long way with the school district, believe it or not. Item G13, November 2018 financial report. Any interesting factoids, Mr. Rothenberg?
Just I wanted to point out to the Common Council that included in the development fund is an update on impact fees on hand and the period of time that impact fees for parks have been spent and the projected status of that at the end of calendar 2019.
That would be page 155. I'm sorry, 156. I'm getting old. I can't read the way I used to. Is there a motion to receive and place on file?
So moved.
Discussion? Seeing none,
just,
all those...
Just one.
I'm sorry, Alderman Mayor.
Paul, any it doesn't take a lot. Any red flags in this? Anything going forward with this report other than what you just mentioned? Everything looks status quo going forward as planned?
There's nothing that I can think of right now which is of any consternation. The latest forecast would have us finishing more favorably than included in the 2019 budget, where we forecasted the year. And building permits and development impact fee collections are running strong as suggested because of all of the building permits that are being pulled right now.
Thank you.
Moral of the story, development is good. Sorry, had to do the commercial. There is a motion to place on file. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G14, we're working on sharing public works building with Hales Corners for the interim while they build their new one. The city attorney is city attorney for both cities.
Village attorney.
Yes. Sorry. See, that's why he's an attorney. I personally don't see a conflict.
Move to approve.
Thank you.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We did G15. H1 licenses. Who's doing that? Alderman Nelson.
Okay. We did not have enough for a quorum tonight, so I'll be making these motions upon my own fruition.
Can we do that? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I discussed it with Madam Clerk.
Okay.
Cool. Okay. The first two I would like to postpone till January 22nd meeting.
Oh, are you afraid to make a commitment or what?
They were appearances.
Hold for appearance. Third one would be hold for appearance. Fourth one is approve. And the fifth one is hold for appearance.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Agreement I-1, vouchers and payroll. Is there a motion approving the following? City vouchers with an ending date of January 3rd, 2019, the amount of $3,003,786.70, and payroll dated December 21st, 2018, the amount of $385,862.85, and payments of the various payroll deductions in the amount of $390,948.96, plus city matching payments, and payroll dated January 4th, 2019, the amount of $393,732.02, and payments of the various payroll deductions in the amount of $206,820.23 in city matching payments, and estimated payroll of January 18th, 2019, estimated at $425,000, and payments of the various payroll deductions in the amount estimated at $426,000, plus city matching payments and property tax refunds and investments with an ending date of January 3rd, 2019, in the amount of $50,580,536.22.
Motion to approve.
Second.
That has to be one of the largest numbers I've ever read.
It is.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Motion approved. 4 ayes. No noes. 2 absent. No abstentions. The motion approved.
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen.